Good afternoon. This program is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly, and as always, appreciate your joining us for the program. On today's show, I'll be talking with Indianapolis native Bill Price. He's a singer, songwriter, and recording artist. He performs both solo and with his band, performing for intimate house concerts or outdoor festivals alike. And he's going to be in more of an intimate mode on Saturday when he comes to Walnut Street Winery in Rochester, Illinois. They often have live music there, and he'll be starting at 7 o'clock Saturday. We'll spend the hour with him and some of his songs, including this one, which comes off of his album with the wonderful title of With the Eye of a Skeptic and a Few Other Likely Stories. The tune is called Sticks and Stones. It's a tune called Sticks and Stones by Bill Price, who's based in Indianapolis, Indiana. He is going to be playing at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester, Illinois, this coming Saturday for a show that starts at 7 o'clock. And he's my guest this portion of Live and Local. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Hey, thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, and thanks for doing your music. You're a new discovery for me, mostly because I haven't been clued into what's happening at the Walnut Street Winery, and recently got plugged in there and saw you were going to be there and explored your website and enjoyed your music. And it looks to me from reading your bio that you haven't been performing over too broad a geographical area until relatively recently. Why don't you give us a little bit of idea of maybe your career path, so to speak?
Sure. That's pretty accurate, I guess. It's been 3 or 4 years ago. I kind of thought, you know, I need to get out of town, as they as they say. And you know, Indianapolis is is a nice city, but it's kind of limited to what you can do here with original music. And plus, I just like to go to some different places. And so. Yeah, I just started looking around, the Midwest, the neighboring states, Illinois, Ohio, and Kentucky, and Michigan, and just tried to set up, at least a few gigs, if not a lot, every year. And this last September, I actually set up some shows clear out in Idaho and Washington State, and that's certainly the farthest I've gone, but I had 6 shows out there, and kind of combine some vacationing and mostly hiking, actually, with some shows. And it's just great fun to play new places and for new people.
I'm looking at your photo here. You and I haven't met. We're talking on the phone. And it looks to be a little gray in your beard.
there's even more since whatever photo that was, probably.
So, but you just released your first album 10 years ago. When did you get started as a songwriter? And I'm guessing this question may be appropriate. What took you so long?
I guess it just goes back to a little bit of what I've done. I mean, I was playing the guitar clear back in, I think, 1976 or something. And then I got out of college, and I was in a band in college, and that's kind of when I started writing songs. And that's like all college bands fizzled out. And
was that just sort of your typical college pop rock band?
Well, it was actually a band with my cousin, and he was kind of an influence on me because he was like one of the few guitar player persons that I knew back then that actually wrote songs and actually had, concepts for songs. So, well, this song should be about this, or, well, let's do a song about, whatever the topic is, and I just thought that was pretty cool. And we're both big Beatles fans and all that. So that kind of encouraged me to get into songwriting. And, after that band broke up, we tried to do some songwriting kind of in terms of like, I mean, it seems silly now, you know, looking back, that we were going to be like, you know, write songs for other people. And, you know, we kind of dabbled at that for a while. We even wrote kind of this little mini rock opera thing. And I ended up hooking up with another guy that was a great songwriter, and we did kind of an acoustic duo for like, gosh, maybe 10 years or something. And we did a lot of playing and a little bit of recording, and he eventually had to move away just to pursue some other things in life. So that duo kind of broke up, and that little project never came out. And it was right about then that I thought, well, you know, this is kind of what I want to do. So I met a guy here in town, a really good blues player named Gordon Bonham, and we started the band The Brains Behind Paw, and I also started my solo CD Bones and Apples. So that was right around 2000, I think, 2001. And that's where I just really kind of put the accelerator down, said, you know, I love to record, I love to write songs. And I think my writing was, by then, was much better than it was 10 years earlier. So I don't know, everything kind of comes in its own time. And so, you know, from about 2000 is when I said, you know, I really want to do this as seriously as I can, you know.
What were you doing professionally until then?
I'm a graphic designer. I still am. I mean, that helps, you know, my income, and that helps support my music, because I tend to do my music, I use a real studio, a really good one, and I hire really good players, and, you know, it's really hard to finance that, at least living here, by just playing, you know, gigs around town. And you almost have to, you know, get into being a cover band and do weddings and corporate gigs, and that's just, I'm not any good at that. So I don't really have a desire to do that either. So I kind of made that compromise to keep some other income, but do my music, you know, the way I want to do it. And it takes a while. My records always take a while because it's just more expensive that way. And if I don't have the money, I just I just wait till I have it, you know. So I just, that's how I've approached it, you know, up to this point.
Since you mentioned your first solo CD called Bones and Apples, I thought maybe we could play something from there. This is one called Bound to Save Us All. We heard a nice up-tempo tune to start the show. And this is really quite different. What I wrote here has got it. I don't even know if this is the right way to put it, but it has a little bit of a mysterious air to it.
Yeah, it's kind of a spooky, it's kind of a dark, it's a very dark song, actually. And I don't know, the twist on it is it's got these dark imagery to it, but it's also about kind of that moment when you find somebody. I had a crush on a girl, actually, way back when I wrote this song, but she did not have any sense of humor, and just, you know, was part of her personality. But that's where the line in there, "My lady loves me, but she has no need to laugh," comes from. But it's about that when you meet somebody, you kind of feel like you can take the world on, you know. It's like the two people together can, it's like no matter what the world throws at us, you know, we're gonna survive. And so it's got dark verses, but, you know, the idea of it is kind of positive, but the way it's recorded is, you know, it's pretty understated, and so it has a dark feel to it.
Well, let's give it a listen, and we'll make our own judgments, I guess.
Okay.
Bound to Save Us All by Bill Price, who is coming to Walnut Street Winery Saturday. With cellist Grover Perito, which I failed to mention earlier. We'll talk more about that as we come up. He's my guest today on Live and Local here on FM 90.9.
There's a Cherokee silhouette standing on the ridge. Save us all. Yes, yeah, she's bound to save us all.
Bound to Save Us All, the name of the tune. It comes from the first album that came out in 2003 by Indiana-based singer-songwriter Bill Price. The CD's called Bones and Apples, and this was called Bound to Save Us All. Here on Live and Local, Bill Price will be performing in Rochester at the Walnut Street Winery there on Saturday evening. He's with us here on Live and Local today. What do you, I mean, you said, you gave an indication that this song came out of a particular crush you had. Do most of your songs come from real life events or not necessarily?
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. You know, even stuff that is somewhat, you know, it's not an exact personal experience. It's, you know, it's kind of still coming through me in some way, even if it's something I'm seeing or, you know, witnessing, it's still my take on it. And I don't know, it seems like most of the tunes have there's some little touchstone in there of some experience or something I saw, or, you know, that's kind of the spark that gets an idea going. I don't know that that's true of every song, but I would say that's probably true of most of them.
And when that is the case, where there's some sort of root in real events, would you say the song tends to develop in a realistic way, by which I mean these are things you actually think and feel about whatever happened, or is that just the spark that then gets your fancy going and then, you know, the song ultimately could be just a fantasy as opposed to some sort of real thinking about the event?
I don't know. I think they probably, most of them stay pretty close to what my worldview is, I guess. You know, I even if they, you know, the song you just played, you know, all those verses in there were just things that came to me, but were not some exact thing, you know, that I witnessed. But they just set a mood of how dark the world can be. You know, the world's a beautiful place, but it can be pretty cruel at times. So, and that is, you know, some kind of truth, I suppose, some kind of opinion, that worldview that I have. But the chorus then about, you know, the hope of overcoming all that is, you know, those are very personal things to me, you know, opinions and ideas. So, like I said, the imagery and stuff is not necessarily something literal that I've experienced, but it's an idea and you know, a concept that I have. You know,
do your more personal songs tend to be the, for lack of a better term, the slower ones, the more low key ones, the more subtle sounding ones, or can those show up in the up-tempo ones too?
I think it's either or, probably. You know, I guess something really affects you in a sad way. I don't know, it's easier to write sad songs. I think most songwriters would agree with that. You know, those experiences where you just get hit in the gut, you know, with something, and it's just, I don't know, it's a more dramatic thing to write about than it's like, oh, I had a great day today. You know, it's harder to write about that.
Well, let's take a particularly energetic example here that comes off of your more recent CD, which has, the CD itself has the wonderful title of With the Eye of a Skeptic and a Few Other Likely Stories. This one is called Hear Me Out, which is quite an energetic tune. What's the genesis of that one?
That song, it's kind of funny. That's the first track on the CD. So the reason it is kind of because it's about, you know, standing up and speaking out, you know, whether it's, you know, in a small group of people or a one-on-one relationship or as a you know, society or whatever, or in a song or, you know, but it's about speaking your mind and standing up for something you believe in. So the song is kind of saying, "Hey, here's a record. Why don't you listen to me?" So that's why it's first on there. And I have a weird thing as a songwriter about writing songs about songs. You know, I don't usually do that, and that's just kind of a personal thing. But this is not specifically about a song, but it does kind of mention, you know, the idea of I forget the exact words now. They're hard to think of when you're not out singing it. But, you know, something about a hymn or a dirge, the strangest things emerge, a song can cleanse the soul, you know. So it's about that.
And in the context, as the opening of this particular album, it's about, I guess, the album.
Yeah.
At least kicking it off. Well, it's how that album starts, and it's not how we started this interview, but it's a good way to keep it going. It's called Hear Me Out by Bill Price here on Live and Local.